I'm now joined with Emma Reedy. She's CEO of Evenus, our local organisation that supports women and children affected by domestic abuse. She's going to be talking about the increased demand for services in light of COVID-19 pandemic. Good morning, Emma. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for having us.
You're most welcome. Emma, first of all, tell us roughly, just roughly how many cases you've had since the outbreak of COVID-19 compared to before the lockdown.
Well, that's a hard question to answer on the basis that our service works at this moment in time at providing a range of supports to women and children through new ways and through new means. That could be through social media, that could be via increased contact, you know, on our helpline. That could be through accommodation. We had noted in the month of March a significant increase in our helpline, an increase to the tune of 51% based on same figures last year. But with the increased contact that we've had or made with some women and children, we've also noticed that there's been periods of real quiet. And while it's really positive and encouraging that women and children are in a position to maybe access support at a time when they need it most, we have concerns in relation to the fact that sometimes there just really isn't that opportunity for them to access that support. And again, that quietness that, you know, we're sometimes experiencing, we think is very much linked to what that lockdown really signals and means for people that are confined to their homes.
Yes, I can understand, actually, because obviously more time spent at home puts women and children at, you know, an increased risk from abusive partners. And it's possible that there could be a lot more unreported cases as well, yeah. You know, because it's more difficult for the women to make contact for support due to lockdown restrictions.
Yeah, I can see
exactly where you're coming from. And, you know, one should always feel safe in their home. But if someone is confined to home, living in fear, trapped behind closed doors, and at the same time suffering from domestic abuse, I mean, that's a very, very sad situation, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's been obviously recognised that, you know, domestic violence is at epidemic proportion. And what has happened, and it's been referenced by our member, our umbrella organisation, Safe Ireland, that the epidemic that is domestic violence has met the pandemic that is COVID. And really what that's meant that, you know, what happens day in, day out for people that are experiencing abuse is that they don't have the same mechanisms available to them to access support, to access that network that ensures that they get the information, the support and the care that they need. And this lockdown situation has carried numerous stresses and strains on families all over the country in relation to reconfiguring what a new type of normal looks like for them. But when you add domestic abuse into the mix, or a toxic or unhealthy relationship, that adds dimensions of uncertainty, fear and a lack of safety that really is very hard to imagine, but adds the added complexity of not being able to reach out or get the support that you need is all that bit more difficult.
Yes, of course. Have you had any cases where women and children have been thrown out of their home by abusers?
Well, we've had many situations, included in that would be where women and children feel that they have had very little choice but to remain in their homes. That might be because they've been left with little option, they have been asked to leave, or it, which is more common for us, that they really feel that to stay would be too unsafe. So women are making, you know, that decision, and that comes at a very frightening time, because women quite reasonably have their own concerns in relation to what they might be leaving and entering into by way of safe accommodation. And that's not a decision that comes or is made lightly. But where women are evaluating that and really seeing that to stay in the home means that they can't rely on their safety being maintained, that of their own or their children's, they're obviously being forced in that situation to flee and leave.
All right. The Gardaí have also been providing great support during this crisis through, I think it's Operation Feasive. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's been a very successful operation, and I suppose we'd have a lot of praise for Garda engagement and involvement in relation to a lot of the cases that we're certainly involved with. And what essentially, I suppose, promotes is that anyone that might have had an ongoing engagement with Gardaí, and Gardaí, remain known to them that Gardaí are doing a very active follow-up with these families. And it essentially, from the Garda perspective, allows for them to check in to see if they're okay, but also to signpost families where necessary. And we've had and received a number of referrals, you know, by virtue of that contact Gardaí have had. It also allows for Gardaí to take on, a prioritised response relating to domestic and sexual-based violence, which is really quite important for us, because where we have seen a lot of things naturally shut down, for example, the courts, we've been really asking that consideration be maintained for people that need to access emergency or interim applications under the domestic violence legislation. And Gardaí have naturally, in most instances, been quite supportive of that. So we welcome the operation, and we welcome ongoing Garda engagement both at local and national level in relation to that.
That's good. Thanks for that. Emma, roughly what percentage of cases involve alcohol or drug addiction by abusers?
Again, that's a very hard one to kind of pinpoint for us. Quite honestly, a lot of women that come and engage our service that recount various forms of abuse, be it emotional, psychological, physical, sexual or financial, they don't pinpoint necessarily the behaviours that exist in the relationship that created that build-up. And we want to very much promote for them that we stay with what their experiences are, what brings them to a service, and what, by virtue of being at our service, their needs are. And while we have no doubt that alcohol and other forms of engagement are certainly exacerbating, or, you know, factors that will contribute to increased violence in the home, we very much promote with clients, and what clients would tell us is not and does not tend to be a justification or a reason for the abuse being acted out. And a lot of women will be able to pinpoint for us that, you know, the forms or patterns of abuse start in really innocuous ways. They build slowly, or they build rather with a sense of eruption. And that relates to the context and the nature of that relationship for them. And often alcohol or addiction has an involvement or certainly a role, but in the vast majority of our cases would not be a significant factor.
All right, okay. Have you had cases involving abuse of older children by adult male children?
Yeah, definitely. That's a theme that we've seen for quite a significant amount of time, just pre-COVID. But it does shed a new light or component yet during COVID, that we have families maybe that are self-isolating in units, and in those units we do have adult children. And stemming from that arrangement, we are seeing an increase in women that are reaching out, where maybe, for example, adult sons or adult daughters are the perpetrators of some form of violence in the home.
Any cases, by the way, where the male partner has been abused? Probably few and far between.
It's not to take away from the fact that, you know, violence happens and is perpetrated by both men and women. We naturally provide women focused support, and there are services that are engaged for men at this time as well, and I would imagine that they're experiencing some sort of influx, as are we. But we have to remember, when we consider victims of domestic violence, the majority of victims that we support are male children victims of abuse. So we would see about 51% of our children male, and we would be providing a very dedicated and honed in support for them as well during the pandemic and what will follow.
Has Evenus, by the way, received any increased support for services, you know, since lockdown, financially or otherwise?
This has been a very difficult one for us, because we've had to essentially reconfigure everything that we considered, you know, as part of the basic level of support or provision we provided to families in the community in the greater Dublin area. We've had to reconfigure and you know, allocate or deliver in a different way. And we had a lot of back and forth with our core funder in relation to that, whereby we eventually got some expenses recouped for us, but as such, we haven't received any extra funding, and we haven't received a commitment that we're going to be funded for any of the new services that we've had to deliver as a result of COVID. We have been very fortunate that members of the public, domestic violence hasn't left them, because I think everyone has felt that, you know, with how the lockdown has affected them and how far, hard and stressful that they have found it, you know, where we've done campaigns where we have been asking people to think about, well, how is it for you? And now transport yourself into a situation whereby you are afraid of the person that you're living, you know, with, that you're afraid of what they will do next. You're afraid of what they're going to inflict on you and your children. That's really resonated very strongly with our communities and members of the public. And people have been very supportive in providing for some fundraising for us and helping us in our real and very immediate needs. And quite honestly, Johnny, without that support, we wouldn't have been able to, you know, really survive the last 8 weeks. So that's been crucial for us. And the other important thing to maybe mention is, and where fundraising and donors have been really influential for us, is that because of the sheer demand for our refuge service and the need to reconfigure, we've opened up extra and new units of accommodation at another location. And really, you know, donors have facilitated us getting those units and those rooms ready to bring people, to bring women, to bring children into that accommodation when they need it most. So that's been really important for us.
Okay. Roughly, how many refuge accommodation shelters are available for women and children?
Well, nationwide, I think people have the sense that there is a significant amount of accommodation that exists for people that have been made homeless due to domestic abuse. And at the moment, we only have, on a nationwide basis, about 108 spaces for women and children. So there has been a reduction with COVID. We thankfully have seen what our services, what our service in particular had to become in order to manage the increased need to manage and maintain healthy and safe workplace practices for the people in our service and our staff team. So while we reduced the occupancy in our refuge setting and reduced that to accommodate families safely, we have also increased and made more units available, 14 units in another accommodation setting available to women, and we've also sourced other accommodation like Airbnb. So we have more than enough, and we want to reassure that anyone listening to this programme feels a level of reassurance that if you feel unsafe in your home, first of all, reach out and access our helpline, access us via text or email, contact us via social media, DM or message us. But the theme and the message that we want to get out is that we have accommodation to meet your needs. So if you feel that you can't remain in your home, we want to reassure you that we have safe accommodation for you. And we mean safe to include that you're safe from your own experiences, but you'll also be safe in relation to the environment that we are managing at the moment, which is COVID.
So Ines has a 24-hour helpline.
Yes.
What's the number to call?
The number to call is 01-867-0701. And that is 24 hours. We have a text line that if anyone is interested in that is hard of hearing or may have difficulty accessing the helpline, they can access our website safely. You can hide your visit if need be, and you can access other contact details. We do realise for a lot of people that helpline is a really good support and a really good you know, gateway into our service, but we recognise that we've had to change and shift to what people can also manage in COVID, and that means text, email and social media is placing, you know, more importance and an increased gateway for people that might not be able to access the helpline at this point in time.
All right, so thanks for that. Many victims of abuse, they stay silent. You know, they're afraid to speak out or seek support. What message would you have for any close, you know, friends, family, even neighbours who know about a situation or even suspect it?
Yeah, it's a really important one, Johnny, because I think that everything that has and is linked to COVID right now has everyone really thinking about themselves, how they maintain their own unit, how they maintain their own safety. And it's really important that they, you know, they heed public advices and public health advices in relation to that. But what we want to really highlight that is that domestic abuse is happening all over and throughout the country. And there are often, in what women report to us and through members and supporters that engage us for their own advices, that there is, you know, signs that domestic violence is happening around you. And we want people to be open to, you know, seeing those signs, open to hearing and being able to follow through on what they might hear or see. And we, like that, are a helpline that are here to support people that need advice in relation to that and how to safeguard themselves, but also how to safeguard a family that they are worried or concerned about. We would recognise that there are a lot of women that we're encouraging right now to seek out people that they consider confidants, that they consider safe. And we would encourage that if they are one of those safe people for women or children, that they don't give a response that shuts them down, that they essentially hear it, heed it, acknowledge that they might not be the best or the most expert person to advise them in this situation, but encourage that they will help and support them get the right support and speciality support at this point in time. So what I would just urge everyone to kind of realise is that we are in this together. That's been the message throughout COVID. But for victims of domestic violence, we have to similarly carry the same response where we're in it to support, we're here to heed it. And in order for women to reach in, we need to be able to reach out for them. And that is what we ask ultimately of members of the public, and to reassure those that need support and are able to access support, that they feel encouraged that the support is here. We are still here and we will be and are able to support them now and in the future weeks and months ahead.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for the information. Would you mind if I ask you just to recap on those two numbers, the emergency call line and also the text number, just for the sake of
absolutely,
our listeners in case they missed
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah? Thank you. 01-867-0701 and our text line is 086-413-6979.
And you also have a drop-in service. What does the service offer, just for those who may be able to drop in?
Yeah, well, at the moment with public health advices, all our services have taken on differences. So the drop-in service doesn't look like it would have pre-COVID. So for the purposes of anyone looking to find information about how they can access an engagement with us, we are doing a lot of Zoom, WhatsApp, video, and we have some office space that represents safe space for people to contact. But we would urge everyone to contact our helpline or text us before accessing that service to ensure that we can do a screening with them and that we can cover with them the basic advices that we're going to go through to ensure everyone's safety around COVID.
Okay, so we're going to leave it at that, Emma, and thank you very much again for joining us today. Have to say, keep up the tremendous work you do for those suffering domestic abuse, and all the very best to you, and take care.
Thank you so much for Johnny reaching out, and we really welcome the platform that you provide for us today. So thank you for that.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Emma Reedy, CEO of Evenus, our local organisation that supports those affected by domestic abuse. And she was talking about the increased demand for services since the outbreak of COVID-19.